So here's to all of the good thinkers, and here's to the lonely drinker. But don't you know, let this moment pass.
Hello, folks. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and I'm the host of the Crude Life Media Network and podcast. Thank you, folks, for tuning in to The Crude Life, a place for expert interviews, full-length features, and specialty programs. And it is all thanks to our fine sponsors. Be loyal to our sponsors. They keep the program free and literally keep our lights on.
So here's to watching the clocks of our grandfathers, and here's to stopping and picking flowers, and here's to not letting this moment pass you by.
This is Jeff Simon. I'm the executive director of the Western Dakota Energy Association.
Western Dakota Energy Association, Jeff Simon. Well, welcome back to the program. I know last time we spoke to you, you were just in the kind of the coming in phases as the old executive director, Vicki Steiner, was on her way out, retiring after her term. Just kind of a state of the union for you. Just kind of how are things going on your new post?
Well, one of the freshman legislators described his experience as a new legislator, and I kind of feel the same way. He called it drinking from a fire hose with a paper blizzard coming at you. That's kind of the way it is. There's a lot to learn, and the more I learn, the more I learn that I don't know yet. But starting to feel a little bit more comfortable.
So, of course, with the new position, you've also got a new name, Western Dakota Energy Association. I imagine the name is getting some good response.
Yeah, I think so. People, you know, I still explain it to people what it is and what it used to be. It was always the North Dakota Association of Oil and Gas Producing Counties, which also includes the Coal Conversion Counties Association, which is part of the reason for the name. We're about energy, and it's not just oil and gas. We also represent coal interests, and there's a lot of wind energy in the western counties of North Dakota. And the term county isn't necessarily all that appropriate for our association either, because we also represent cities and schools in the energy-producing counties. So thus, Western Dakota Energy Association.
Great. I just wanted to make sure we reminded the folks out there. I mean, after being the North Dakota Association of Oil-Producing Counties for so long, I know there's going to be a little bit of a rebranding transition. So glad you could join us here today. Last we spoke, too, you guys were just going through a six-city study that involved primarily most of the larger Bakken cities, if you will, Dickinson, Williston, Watford City, Tioga, a few of the others. How's that study going? Is it completed, and where are we at with it?
The study has been completed, and we had a presentation to legislators at the Capitol back on January 9th. And we did try to kind of get a representative cross-section of the Bakken communities. Most are near the core, you know, the heart of the patch, you might say. But we do have large to small there, from Williston all the way down to the smallest of the communities we studied was Kildare. But so there are three big, Williston, Watford City, and Dickinson, and then Stanley, Tioga, Kildare are a little smaller.
And was there anything, I guess, kind of first reaction, and then we'll get into maybe some specifics, but kind of the broad overview first reaction that that you saw when that study was completed?
Well, you know, I heard from some members that they were a little bit surprised by, you know, what even modest oil prices will translate into terms of growth in these communities. You know, we're looking at even, you know, we're to I guess back up, maybe we project in the study, and this is based upon, you know, pretty good information. Oil prices currently hovering around $50, ranging up to maybe $70 by the end of the study period, 2023. But I mean, those aren't the $90 and $100 barrel prices we saw. But even with those prices, we're going to see pretty substantial growth in the oil producing communities. You know, upwards of 3 to 5%. Where communities sometimes struggle with 1 to 2%, we're talking 3 to 5%. So people were a little bit maybe surprised by that level of growth is going to continue to occur even with moderate oil prices.
How does that translate to infrastructure? We've been a big proponent of Bakken infrastructure for the last 4 years. Talking with Lynn Helms last week, we were talking about some of the big major infrastructure projects still happening. The Williston Airport's a great example that we like to use. I mean, you know, air travel is down in the state about 11% from last year, but we're still moving ahead with upgrading some of the major airports, or minor airports too. Pretty much every airport in the state, I think, is getting an upgrade. But the one in Williston certainly symbolizes that they're serious about the future of business out there. And this is not like the old boom bust days. This is going to be kind of a gradual increase in population and revenues. Am I reading those tea leaves right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the Bakken communities, they went through that period of rapid growth, and I mean, it was really a boom time, and it was very difficult when we were talking about, you know, growth rates annually of 15% or more in some instances. Now it's a little bit more. I mean, it's kind of the way the Pats itself has been operating. I mean, it was a mad scramble at first, and now it's much more orderly. And for the most part, these communities have built out infrastructure so they can accommodate additional growth, but then there's a lot of fill-in to go yet. I mean, they're still expanding. We're seeing expansions of the needs for wastewater treatment and those sorts of things. And when you extend services out, it kind of goes out like, you know, the spokes in a wheel, but in order to provide redundancy and reliability, you've got to loop those systems together. So that's a lot of the other additional infrastructure work to make sure that, you know, water service is maintained if there's a dig-in or a disruption or something like that. Those are the kinds of projects they're working on right now. A lot of fill-in infrastructure you're going to see.
How about some of those smaller communities? You know, Dickinson, I remember when Mayor Johnson got up and talked about, you know, he was sat on my program in 2012 talking about how the city was debt-free and you know, great accolades towards the citizens and the council members and just the whole government for doing that. Then the next year at your guys' annual meeting, he was putting a warning out there about how Dickinson was $100 million in debt. We can't put another sewer pipe in the ground until we get caught up. You know, that's that rapid growth that you were talking about since has leveled out since then. But how are these smaller communities dealing with that? Because they don't necessarily have that population or tax base to pull off of to make some major infrastructure changes, whether it be water and sewer or even, you know, kind of roads for that matter. Just kind of some of those smaller communities and their challenges and how they're planning on, I guess, satisfying some of those.
Very good observation. I mean, there is, I guess, almost a different thought process in the smaller communities, where the larger communities will, you know, will leverage their assets and take on some debt. The smaller communities tend to function on what's in their checkbook now. They haven't leveraged anything other than what they're able to afford today. So, you know, one of the important things for those communities has been a little bit of the impact aid that's come their way for, you know, one-time funding projects, and that's one of our hopes in the 2017 legislative session here is to fulfill some of the commitments that were made in the 2015 legislative session for impact aid grants to the energy communities. It happens with the downturn in oil prices that the impact aid bucket, as they say, did not fill, and so we're hoping to provide funding to fulfill some of those grant commitments that were made in the past session.
In addition to the Jeff Simon, Executive Director of Western Dakota Energy Association, in addition to some of the infrastructure projects for the 6-city study that you guys conducted, was there anything outside of that, maybe, you know, the general consensus of the people and sort of how they're dealing with some of the oil activity and lack of oil activity, or maybe some ancillary businesses, you know, whether it be a pizza shop or a haircut place, something like that, you know, anything kind of outside the direct oil and gas, more of that community-based economy, I guess. Did the study get into that at all, or just any anecdotal thing that you might have towards that particular vein?
Not specifically. You know, we really kind of tried to focus on the infrastructure needs of each of these 6 cities, including, you know, things like fleet requirements to maintain roads, and then, of course, the personnel that they're going to need, additional firefighters and additional policemen and additional truck drivers and those sorts of things. because those increase substantially when you get more infrastructure. You've got more infrastructure to maintain, so we did look at that. But there are other organizations that are looking at housing needs and some of the social aspects of this. There's still legislation aimed at dealing with just other aspects of society that kind of come that are associated with growth.
What's next for the study? Now that you've got the study done, you've got the information, I imagine you're going to take a little more time to disseminate it or break it down to how you see fit. But what's the next step for this particular study?
Well, we've got, we'll have a discussion in the legislative process to document these ongoing needs. Obviously, the 2017 session with the downturn we've seen in energy prices and ag commodity prices, for that matter, the discussion is all about the dollars and who gets them and who doesn't get them. So we need to make our case. This study will help us do that. We've got legislation in there to adjust the Hub City funding formula, which would affect Williston, Dickinson, and Minot. The impact aid grant appropriation has also been requested in the form of legislation.
What are you hearing lately out there as far as we've got still 1 million barrels that are being pumped, and so that's pretty good news. I mean, we were able to maintain pretty much, I think, all but 1 month. We dipped under 1 million, but, prices were, 30 to 50 bucks primarily last year, and we're still pumping out 1 million barrels. I would imagine that's got to at least be some positive news for these oil and gas producing counties.
Yeah, and that's part of the details, I guess, that went into the study or the other studies that we studied. Projections from the Department of Mineral Resources and anticipated drilling activity based upon various price levels. At $50 a barrel, there's talk in the industry that we'll see another 10 drilling rigs by summer of this year, potentially. And we know frac crews are being hired to complete some of the wells that haven't been completed. And when those, wells come online, we'll see additional bumps in production. At the same time, there's a downside to this, that some of the conventional wells we're hearing are being shut in hopes of higher prices somewhere down the road. So that million barrel figure is likely to drop, down around 900,000 or so per day. And that's the number that the legislature, the appropriations process they're using. The latest revenue projections are based on 900,000 barrels per day and $48 per barrel. And that's the Bakken price. That's not, which is slightly discounted from the other price markers that we see.
Jeff Simon, Executive Director, Western Dakota Energy Association, just wrapping up here. Before we get to your final thoughts, are there any specific bills that you're particularly paying attention to over the last couple weeks and the next few weeks as this legislative session continues in North Dakota?
Can I say too many to mention? We're looking at, and it's typical for a session of the North Dakota legislature, which just meets every other year, of course. We're expecting, I suppose by the time it's all said and done, somewhere around 800, 900 bills. We're approaching that number right now, and there are still a few more probably coming into the hopper. But there are, a lot of other funding issues, a lot of, concern about roads and maintenance of roads. And then there's, not surprisingly, a lot of legislation that's been introduced in response to the Dakota Access Pipeline protest. So there's some things like that that we're watching.
How about any final thoughts you might have just kind of with this study and just the oil and gas communities in general?
I guess I might just kind of make reference to the events in Washington, D.C. With the swearing in of a new president and some of the cabinet picks he's made that are, I guess I'd say, a little bit more pro-energy and pro-economy. There's, I think, a sense of optimism here in North Dakota that, we're going to see, kind of the end of the anti-fossil fuel mentality coming out of Washington and a little bit more pro-growth. At least that's kind of the sense I'm hearing around here.
That holds us laughing And here's to the sound of one hand clapping. And here's to not letting this moment pass. And here's to carrying the weight of the world. And here's to screaming, yeah, never being heard. And here's to not letting this moment pass.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
The oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.